Sharon, aren't you? She's re-energizing tonight, amen? She's like the Energizer Bunny. I'm telling you, Pastor Sharon is full of energy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll do my best. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over this service this night. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we will receive revelation knowledge. Lord, that your people will not hear me, but they'll hear you. And you will reveal to them the truths from your word that they need to hear this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I want to start off with something a little funny tonight. I rarely do this anymore, but I just felt like it kind of flows with what I got tonight. An elderly couple named Esther and Mark, who had grown up in the Great Depression, and as a result, they were very reluctant to buy anything that wasn't absolutely necessary for survival, especially Esther. The big recreational event for the year was going to the country fair. Each year, Mark said, "I'd like to go up for a ride in that airplane." Regretfully, Esther would say, "I know you want to experience some air travel, but the ride costs $50, and $50 is $50. After many years of the same conversation, Mark one day said, "Look, Esther, I'm 85 years old, and if I'm ever going up in a plane, I need to do it now." Esther shook her head and said, "I know how badly you want the ride, but $50 is $50. The pilot of the plane overheard their conversation and said he would take them both up for $50, and he would do it for free if neither one of them uttered a sound or said a word. They would get it absolutely free. Even Esther thought that was a good deal. So they climbed into the antiquated plane with the cockpit, the open cockpit. They pledged to each other that they would be completely silent. The pilot went into the most daring routines, quick rollovers, rapid ascents, more rapid dives. It was enough to make a seasoned flyer queasy. This he did over and over again. There wasn't one sound from either of the two passengers. When they landed, the pilot turned to Mark and said, "I have to hand it to you. I was sure that there would be a scream from one of you, but not a peep." Mark replied, "Well, I almost yelled when Esther fell out, but $50 is $50. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 16. In the NIV, it says, "Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And our tithing testimony was just perfect setup for this tonight. It was just perfect. Share with others. She bought the shoes for somebody else. A lot of people hear Charlie Brown's teacher when you say things like tithes, offerings, give to others, be generous, wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. They don't hear anything. Some people feel like they should never be the giver. They believe the lie, "Well, I don't have enough to give." Now, in your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 21. I'm reading out of the Amplified, starting verse number 1 through 4. Looking up, Jesus saw the rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in two mites. And he said, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they gave out of their abundance or their surplus. But she has contributed out of her lack and her want, putting in all that she had to live on." So even though she was poor, she had something to give. Even though she was poor, she was generous. Even though she had a great need herself, she gave anyway, looking to God to take care of her. She didn't believe the lie that "I can't afford to give." She didn't believe the lie, "I don't have enough to give." Luke 6 and 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it'll be measured to you." Now, giving is a spiritual law. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, "Giving is a spiritual law." It works the same way every time. That's what a law does. Generous people give money and more than money. Generous people give even when it doesn't make sense to give, they give. Generosity takes us out of selfishness. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's not talking about you. Y'all had some doubt when you looked at your neighbor, didn't you? Some of y'all think your neighbor's a skinflint, don't you? Generous people often give more than they're afraid to give, more than they're asked to give. Generous people give out of their substance, whether large or small. You don't have to have $1 million to be generous. You just have to have a willing heart. There was a man, when I went to another church, this has been many, many years ago, and I just went to the church. I didn't know anything about whether this man tithed or didn't tithe or anything, but he brought up the conversation to me. And a lot of times when the Lord is dealing somebody about something, they'll bring up a conversation like that. And he started talking to me. He said, well, I can't tithe. And I was like, okay. He said, because I'm on a fixed income and there's no way in the world I can tithe. And I said, okay. I didn't know whether he tithed, whether he didn't tithe. I didn't know anything about him. But I said, okay. Now, but that's not true. Tithing works the same for millionaires and for paupers. It works the exact same. Tithing is a principle that works on every, it's a spiritual law that works on every field. I mean, if you've got a dollar, 10 cents of it is a tithe. If you've got $1 million, $100,000 is it a tithe. Everybody's on the same playing field. Now, he thought he was limited in what he could do, but he wasn't limited. He was putting God in a box and said, God, you can't bless me out of this box. But God could have blessed him way out of that box if he'd have just trusted God. Generous people look for ways to give. How can I be a blessing to somebody else? Can I give them something that'll bless them or touch them or lift them in some way? Now, a lie that people believe is if I had it, I would be a generous person. That's a lie. If you're not generous with what you already have, you won't be generous if you've got $1 million. I've had so many people through the years tell me, Pastor, when I win the lottery, we're going to build you a new church. We're going to build, Pastor, I'm telling you, when I win that lottery, I'm telling you, I'll do it. Now, I know the answer. I never ask them, but I always know the answer. You don't tithe now with what you have. There's not a chance you'll give with what you will get. Not a chance. Because if you're not faithful in little, you won't be ruler over much. If you can't trust God with the little that you have in your pocket, the little that you make already, you'll never trust Him with that larger amount. It's a test. It really is. See, you're generous now with whatever you have. I know I tell it a lot, but that lady that used to go to this church many years ago, she's passed away now, Helen Norris. She didn't have a lot. She had very little. But we'd have a dinner. Helen would pull up in the car outside. And Helen would, I mean, they'd have to help her bringing in all the food. She's bringing in food and food and food and food. She's given out of what she's got. She was a tither. But in addition to her tithes, she was given all this food for that. She was making sure she didn't just bring enough for her. And a lot of times she didn't even stay for the dinner. She brought it for other people. She was a generous person who thought of other people. Generous people think of other people. Jerry Savelle said that he was in Piccadilly Restaurant. And he said he was in the serving line or whatever at Piccadilly. I don't know if y'all have ever been there. It's really good. But he was there. And he said as he was getting up to the front of the line to pay or whatever, the guy took one look at his tie and said, that is the most, he was just giving him a compliment. He said, that's the most beautiful tie I've ever seen in my life. He said, where did you get it? Did you buy it locally or a certain store or what? He said, no, I actually got it in London when I was overseas preaching. He said, wow. He said, that is a beautiful tie. Jerry just pulled the tie off and gave it to him. He said, no. He said, I didn't say that for that reason. Jerry said, I know you didn't. He said, but you don't even know me. He said, that's good. He said, are you a believer? And he said, I am. He said, well, the Bible says do good, especially to them of the household of faith. So I'm doing you good. I'm going to do a good thing for you. You're another believer. I'm going to sow a seed into your life. See, he was a generous person. He wasn't attached to things. God will test you. Now, a lot of people want to say, test you with sickness and disease. Lie from the pit of hell. Lie, 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 lie. Amen. But he will test you in can you give something that he asks you to give to somebody else or to a ministry or whatever? He'll see if you're going to do it. You know, talk is cheap. Thank you very much. I read this, or no, I heard this about Frank Sinatra. I don't know anything about his spiritual walk, But they said he was a very generous person. Said that he was at a restaurant one time, and this guy walked up to him and said, "Wow." He said, "Those cufflinks are, man, those are nice." He was just paying him a good compliment. He said, "They're so unique and so beautiful." And he took those cufflinks off and handed them to the guy. And the guy said, no, Mr. Sinatra, no. That, you know, he said, he wouldn't take no for an answer. He said, "I'm not going to get attached to anything." He said, I'm just not that way. He said, I can't do it. He gave him, those cufflinks were several thousand dollars. The guy that was standing with him was like, "Oh man, I can't believe he just gave up those cufflinks." But it didn't, see, he knew the source. I'm assuming. I mean, surely he didn't think it was himself. I hope not. But sometimes selfish people think they're the source, so they can't give. Well, I got my own bills. How am I going to start thinking about somebody else when I can hardly make it? Well, you're not a giver then. And it makes life harder if you're not a giver. Psalms 112 and verse number 5, good will come to those who are generous. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 in the CEB version, those who give generously receive more, but those who are stingy with what is appropriate will grow needy. Generous persons will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. God doesn't pay every Friday, but He does have a payday. And He has more than one. The lie that we can't afford to give, we say that lie, or people say that lie, because they don't have a revelation of God as their source. Because if you've got a revelation of God as your source, you know where you got this one, you'll get the next one. You know if you give this one away, God will give you a better one. You know God will take care of you no matter what you're going through, because He's your source. Your job is not your source. Your relatives are not your source. Your bank account is not your source. God is your source. So you can give away anything that God tells you to give away. Now, I'm not talking about because somebody's trying to manipulate you or control you to give it to them, to drop hints in your ear to give it to them. That's not what I'm saying, because that's not right. You won't be blessed for that. You have to have discernment about... Thank you very much. Ecclesiastes 11 and 1, cast your bread upon the waters, cast your seed upon the waters, the good things that you're giving to other people, the good things that you're giving to the Lord, and it'll come back on every wave. Now, we've got the festival, and you know every year between the festival and the anniversary celebration, this is the biggest things that we do all year. We got... How many hot dogs is it this year, Mary? 500. Okay, and last year we did like 300 or 400. 400. We gave away. I mean, they had like a handful of hot dogs left out of 400. And this year we're expecting we're going to need more hot dogs. But you need, I mean, because, and here's the thing. It looks foolish a lot of times. You know, people would come in and say, why are you going to take up or get people to ask people to give stuff when you could ask for the church, the different needs that we have in the church? That's true. But see, we believe there's a spiritual law where giving is concerned. And we don't believe that you just have to give into something that we've got. We believe we give out, and God will take care of everything that we're doing. We believe that we spend a lot of money on these festivals. You give a lot, hot dogs and candy and, oh man, drinks and waters and we take the photos. Somebody has to buy the photo paper and all the stuff. You know, we give all that away. We're trying to bless the community. You know, there's a lot of parents that can't afford to take their children to the fair, and the fair is a big thing in the month of October. But they can come here and they can have a good time, have them some hot dog and you know, a picture with their family and just a good time with their family. They can go back through, play the games over and over. I mean, just have a good time. That's what the whole purpose of this is. And we're trying to give to the community. We don't have ulterior motives here. Our motive is to bring glory to God by giving back to this community and let God's glory just shine on them because somebody wanted to do it. But sometimes we have to prepare our hearts to give, because sometimes our hearts aren't right. Because sometimes we say, man, I done gave and gave and gave, and I'm tired of giving. I can't give right now. Wrong attitude. When the Lord puts something on your heart to give, it's better if we do it instantly. If we instantly obey. Because if you don't instantly obey, a lot of times you'll talk yourself out of something. And the Lord's not asking you to give to hurt you. He's trying to increase us by asking us to give. He has a reason, and it's to bless us. Sometimes the Lord will tell you, give you clothes, you know, give your favorite blouse away or your favorite shirt or your favorite pair of shoes. Give that away. He doesn't say, give me the clothes that you got in your closet that you don't like, that's got holes in it, that you've had them in there since you were a teenager and now you're in your 70s. They're bleached out, worn out, and even the bugs don't want them anymore. No, there's not going to be a blessing by giving something like that. Give the best. Give the one that you like. Give the favorite one. That's a good seed. There was this lady, and she was gonna sell her children's clothes to get her next year's children's clothes. She did this, you know, and she gathered her children's clothes. She's going to do it. The Spirit of God said, I want you to sew those. She had a friend that had children that were like her kids, but they were just a little younger. The clothes would have fit her kids. And the Lord kept telling her, give those clothes away. Give them away to that lady. And he kept telling her, and she was like, uh-huh, you know. And finally, she got up one morning, and he said, do it today. Do it right now. Wow. And, you know, the Lord doesn't do that a lot, but he did. He told her, he said, do it right now and do it today. He said, if you'll do it today, and you don't hear this a lot out of the Lord, he said, if you'll do it today, I'll take care of your kids' clothes today. You do it today, I'll give your kids' clothes today. So she, on her way to work, she gathered up those kids' clothes, put them in the car, dropped them off at that lady's house. She went to work. She got a bonus at work that day that paid for all of her kids' clothes. Now, it was an unexpected bonus. You tell me that wasn't God. That was God. Given, it shall be given. How do you know the Lord is dealing with you about doing it? It's a faint impression, a thought that you know it in your thought. You pray and ask Him, is this you, Lord? He'll let you know. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, He'll confirm what you're going to do. An inward knowing, an inward voice. Sometimes we're led by a slight, very slight impression, a thought, a good thought. Give so-and-so some money. Buy gas for so-and-so's car. Pay off so-and-so's credit card. If that thought came to you, I can bet you the devil didn't tell you that. And I bet you didn't tell you that. I mean, because you're like, pay off somebody's credit card. Oh, no, No. You know that thought had to come from God. Give so-and-so some clothes. There was a meeting that Gloria Copeland was in. And this lady felt like the Lord told her to give Gloria a ring. It was a very, very expensive ring. If I could remember the name of the place. I can't remember the name of the place, but it's one of the most expensive places that has rings and jewelry and stuff. And it was a very expensive ring. And she was new at hearing the voice of God. And she felt like the Lord had told her two or three times in her heart, she just felt this impression, to give her this ring. Why is she suddenly thinking about a ring, giving a ring that she loves? And she said, okay. She said, I don't know if this is right or not. Now, I don't recommend doing this, but, you know, the Lord showed her mercy because He wants us to be led by the Spirit and not by other things. But she didn't know, and so she said, okay, Lord, she said, in the morning, she said, before the service, have Gloria sit by me. Have her, like she's going down for breakfast. She don't even know anything. She don't know Gloria. Gloria does not know her. She said, just put her by me. Cross her path and put her close to me. Well, the place is packed. I mean, all the rooms are just flat packed. They couldn't even get on the outside. That's where Gloria wanted to be seated, was the outside of the place. Can't seat you out there. We're going to have to seat you. Said they walked her through and through room after room after room and sat her in the back of this place and put her back up against the back of the lady that had just prayed that had been praying that. She touched that lady's chair and her chair were touching. This lady is boo-hooing. She starts crying. And Gloria's like, she turned around. She didn't know what was going on. And she said, she started pouring out her heart. The Lord told me to give you my ring. And she said, you know, if the Lord told you, it'll be, you know, you don't have to do this. If the Lord did. She said, no, I told Him if he would sit you right by me, I would know that it was Him. And I know it's Him. And she gave her this ring. It was one of the nicest rings you ever. They said it twirled. I don't know anything about that kind of stuff, but it. Something about when you move your hand, the ring spins. And it was a very, very, very expensive ring. Now, I just thought that was kind of neat. In the church here, sometimes through the years, and even now, sometimes people give us money to give away. Now I tell you, my favorite job as a pastor is to give away money. I mean, people give us money to give away to somebody that we pray about that has a need. I mean, it's a blast. I mean, it's a blast going up to somebody and blessing somebody that's something that's going to be gas money or bill money for an electric bill or a water bill or something. You know, some way it's going to be used to bless them and somebody had a need. It's a lot of fun. I really, really work on me and trying to make adjustments in myself to put my heart into anything I give. Especially in the last few months, I've really been like really over it. I mean, I feel like we've been great. I consider myself a very generous giver. I mean, we've had that revelation for a long time. But I'm gonna attach my heart to it in a greater way than ever before. Not just because the offering is being taken up, but because I know, Lord, I'm excited about doing this. I'm adjusting my heart. I'm excited about doing it. I can't wait to do it. I want to be that kind of giver. Because you get a greater measure of blessing and prosperity for your giving if you do it right. Sometimes we just do things out of habit, tradition. We're supposed to. But that's not the way we're supposed to give. We've all done it that way. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says, "Let each one of us give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his own heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving." I love that. That's 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. I believe that's the Amplified Classic Edition. One time, many years ago, we were in a pretty bad financial strait. And I remember thinking that I wanted to, Pastor Sharon, she never asked for anything. But I remember thinking, the thought came to me, I know it was God, telling me that she's wanting some clothes. The desire of her heart is to get some new clothes. And I was like, well, Lord, I can't do it. I ain't got it right now. I'd like to do it. I want to do it. I want to obey you on that. You're going to have to show me how because I don't know how we're going to do this. And so I just started praying about it. It was a desire of my heart to bless her. She never mentioned it one time. I never mentioned it to her. We never mentioned it to another person. Now here we go. I'm going to go a side journey right there. See, we think this mentioning to other people, I'm going to mention as many people as I can mention it to. Now that's manipulation and control. The only person I told about this was the Lord. This is me and him, between me and him. She didn't even tell me she desired new clothes. She never mentioned it to me. I know she did in my heart. I know she did. Somebody approached her, gave her $500, and said, "These are for new clothes." I was like, well, all right. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Now, that blessed me. That blessed me big time. Now, hang on. You say, well, you're a pastor. That probably happens to you a lot. Oh, really? No. No. In all these years, that's never happened before that time. It's never happened after that time. Now, I'm not talking about when y'all blessed her for Mother's Day. That's something entirely different. We just started doing that in the last couple of years. And that is a huge blessing. But just somebody just doing that, that's never happened until that time. It shows me that was God. See, it excites me when God tells somebody to do something. It excites me when God tells me to do something because I know He's got a reason for doing it. And it excites me to see somebody receive what God's got. It's fun. But don't drop hints. That's manipulation and control. Okay, y'all got another minute or two? Y'all hang on for a minute or two? See, now we're talking about big things and little things. I'm going to give you a little thing. One day I was praying about something. We're going to go see somebody. And I've been praying about it for a little bit. And I said, okay. I said, Lord, I'd like to give a gift. It's just a small gift. I'm not, you know, I felt in my heart it was a small gift, something. Now, I know somebody will have a problem with this, but I'm going to do it anyway. The thought came in my mind. The thought came, go to Country's Barbecue and get banana puddings. Now, see, some of y'all have revelation knowledge. You've had those banana puddings from Country's Barbecue, and see, revelation knowledge tells you, whoa, that's good. That's anointed. Yes, it is. And we have cooks here that make banana pudding that is anointed and good also. But it kept coming to me. And I said, that's the craziest thought. No way, God, you're telling me to go to Country's before we go see them and get banana pudding. No way. I mean, I can't even ever tell that publicly. People will think I'm crazy. Some of you probably do. It's all right. We went to Country's. We weren't eating there. We went there specifically to get those. And we went and met with the people. It blessed them so much. I could see it. And there was something said, and I realized, God, you did tell me. It confirmed everything in my heart. You did tell me to do this. And I saw it, and I was like, wow, God can tell you to go to Country's and get banana pudding. Now, I got to be honest with you, that was a fun time. I wish he would always give me instructions about going to get banana pudding or something like that. You understand? See, because I didn't just get banana pudding for them. I got it for us. Hallelujah. Because I felt like it would be wrong for them to eat by themselves. You know, you got to fellowship with them. So I knew the Lord wanted us to share in the partaking. It's like communion with banana pudding. You understand? One time, not every time, but one time, the Lord dealt with me, and he dealt with Pastor Sharon at the same time. One of the times Victor and Eunice come, sometimes we'll get them a little something, but he told me, get them something real nice. He told her, I was like telling her, I said, I believe the Lord's dealing with me something. She said, we're supposed to get them something real nice. I said, that's it. I said, we got to go shopping. And so we went shopping. We were praying about what to get them. To be honest with you, I don't remember what it was. I want to say it was a watch. It was something really, really nice. It was expensive. And it was something that we both felt like they would want, each one of them. But I'm telling you, sometimes the Lord will tell you to do those things. And, you know, here's the thing. If the Lord tells you to do something, it's not to diminish you or take away from you. He'll put the money back. You understand? He'll give you the money back. I'm so glad I wrote this down. Darlene, your pastor's wife, your previous pastor and his wife, okay, come here. Thank you, Vance. Thank you. Hello. I know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got a good testimony. Tell it.
We had a pastor before we came here. We was there for 17 years till he passed away. And we loved him so much. And one night at church, well, I'll start from the beginning. On Wednesday night, I had told my husband on the way to church, nobody knew this but me and the Lord and my husband. And I just put my hands out, you know, and I said, honey, look at my hands, they're empty. I said, I would love to have a real ring. Because I've always wore the fake stuff. And I just let it come out of my mouth and I showed him my hands, you know. on Sunday night, now this is the same week. On Sunday night, I didn't say nothing to nobody but Joe and I and the Lord in our car. Nobody else knows it. On Sunday night, The preacher comes over there, and she scoots up real close to me. She's a pastor, too. Mm-hmm. She scooted up real close to me, and I won't never forget it. She took my hand, and she puts it over, and I'm thinking, oh, dear, what we doing? We've been some pray. And she stuck the ring on my finger, and she said, the Lord told me to give you this. And she said, I had a ring at home I thought I was going to give, but this is my favorite ring. And it was a diamond. And it was big. I got it at home now, but I've lost a little weight in my finger, so I don't want to lose it. But I'll show it to y'all. It's gorgeous.
Praise God. Glory to God. Isn't that good? So we don't need to have a deaf ear when God speaks to us to give to someone or something or to give an offering. Give. Listen and obey. I had some guys, I'm stopping, I promise. I had some guys that were working at my house for a few days, filling in the swimming pool with dirt. And it took them for a while. And I felt like the Lord, I just felt an impression. I know we say I felt like the Lord told me. Okay, and that throws people off when you say that, so I need to slow it down. Okay, I had an impression on the inside. It says, give those two guys a gift. Give each one of them a gift. And they, you know, work for like 5 days there. I'm paying them. But give them a gift. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And so I got them a gift. I got each one of those guys a gift. And then there was one of the two guys, and the Lord, I got an impression. He had mentioned to me about having cancer and that he had, he wasn't going to have the treatment. And he had mentioned this to me, and we were talking, and anyway, I heard it three different times, give him a prayer cloth. And I thought, God, he's not kind of the guy you want to give a prayer cloth to. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy. I've never heard him mention you know, not respectfully. I never, you know, I don't know if he knows you at all or whatever. Anyway, I obeyed it. I gave each of them a gift, and then I gave him a prayer cloth. He didn't say a whole lot. He thanked me. And the other one just went crazy over the gift. I mean, the other one's just like, he's jumping up and down over the gift. He is so happy he got a gift. I mean, seriously. And then the next, maybe it's the following week, a couple of weeks, he came back to do something, to check on something. And that guy was there. And he was talking about the Lord. The one that had the prayer cloth. I mean, he was talking about the Lord. I was like, between last week and now, the Lord has done something in this man's heart. I mean it. And see, it's just that little bit of obedience. Just that little bit when he tells you to do something that may seem foolish, but just do it. It was a little bitty thing. Same scripture, Hebrews 13 and 16. I'm stopping. NIV, just the same one we started with. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Ask Ashley if she'd come. Glory to God. Glory to God.